ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् ओम शांति शांति शांतिः ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः दैवासुरसंपद्विभागयोगो नाम षोडशोऽध्यायः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः. सो भगवान् हैज प्रेजेंटेड ब्यूटिफुली द वर्च्यूस ऑफ अ पर्सन हू इज बॉर्न विद डिवाइन वेल्थ and the negative tendencies of a person who is born with demonic nature and how such people contribute for the universal disharmony. 14th verse. Asau maya hata shatruhu hanishye chaparanapi ईश्वरोऽहमहं भोगी सिद्धोऽहं बलवान् सुखी. 13th verse also. इदमद्यमया लब्धम् इदं प्राप्स्ये मनोरथम् इदमस्तीदमपि मे भविष्यति पुनर्धनम् इदमद्यमया लब्धम् इदं प्राप्स्ये मनोरथम् इदमस्तीदमपि मे भविष्यति पुनर्धनम्. सो द पर्सन ऑफ डेमोनिक नेचर हूज परस्यूट इज नथिंग बट मेटीरियल एंड्स इन टर्म्स ऑफ अर्थ कामास. There's no clue of the moksha being the ultimate goal. There's no commitment to the pursuit of jnanam. There's no knowledge of the value of jnanam. There is no knowledge of the value of dharma also. Therefore, this completely this person having only material ends as the ultimate goal. For him, enjoyment of pleasures alone become the greatest accomplishment. Therefore, how such person lives, it is said, idam adya maya labdham, oh, this much has been got by me today, means I have earned this much now. Imam manoratham prapsye, definitely I see that I will accomplish this end. I see that I shall get my this desire fulfilled, means I shall see that I will have this much wealth. Imam manoratham prapsye, I will have this, I'll get my desire for wealth fulfilled very soon. It will not take very long. Idam asti, oh, now already I have this much. Idam asti mama, I have this much already. I have this much. Idam api me bhavishyati punaha dhanam. I have this much now and this much more also is going to be my money soon. Idam dhanam punaha me bhavishyati. That money also will become mine. May bhavishyati, punaha dhanam may bhavishyati, means there will be much more wealth. There will be much more wealth for me. I have this much wealth now and there will be much more wealth for me. Okay, this is the attitude, this is the thinking of the person of materialistic goals, who is not spiritual, therefore who is not even religious, because such people even do not even involve Bhagavan. Sometimes they may be religious, that's also for Arthakamas only. They worship Bhagavan also for Arthakamas only, if at all they're religious. And they may be ethical, they may not be ethical also. So in this verse, Bhagavan Krishna presents a simple mind. Simple mind. Or generally, this is how the attitudes of most of the people in society. And this is what the thinking is. What is the big thing they have in life? Oh, this is what I have, this much. I must accumulate more than this. And I'm going to somehow get this desire fulfilled for me. This is the thing. And what is it vow they have of wanting to fulfill? Not any jnanam or moksha, only in terms of enjoyment of pleasures. Okay. Because for them, money is everything, wealth is everything, enjoyment of fulfillment, enjoyment of pleasures is everything. There's nothing more than that for them. Therefore, Bhagavan discusses, let me tell you, Bhagavan discusses in these verses, there are three verses, where Bhagavan specifically discusses the thinking style of the person whose ends are material, whose ends are arthakamas, mere materialistic ends, the material ends. So Bhagavan discusses the thinking style, the thought pattern of the person of material ends, the person for whom arthakamas alone are the ultimate goals. I mean, the thinking style, the thought pattern is such that always the person sees himself through what he possesses. He does not see himself through what he is. He cannot see himself through what he is. He is totally ignorant. But he sees himself through what he possesses. Therefore, there's always thinking of how much he has, what he has, what he should earn. And is always planning and scheming for how to hoard more. So today I got this much and I should have more. And this is somehow, I should fulfill this. I will not leave it. I will get it. This is the thinking. So what Bhagavan says, that he is always thinking. So even thinking of how he should enhance his wealth, how he should become much, how he can hoard, earn more than what he has. So always thinking of increasing his possessions and positions is also what? It's a type of meditation. But his meditation is not on Bhagavan. His meditation is only on, we can't call it meditation, but always he's thinking firmly of his own accumulation of more and more of possessions in terms of wealth and enjoyment of pleasures. So he's always thinking of meditative of accumulation of wealth, meditative of enjoyment of pleasures. There's no other thinking possible for him. Next verse. Asau mayahata shatruhu. Asau mayahata shatruhu. Hanishye chaparanapi. Hanishye chaparanapi. Ishvaroham aham bhogi. Siddhoham balavan sukhi. Ishvaroham aham bhogi. Siddhoham balavan sukhi. Asau mayahata shatruhu. Hanishye chaparanapi. ஈஸ்வரோஹமகம் போகி சித்தோஹம் பலவான் சுகி அசௌ மயாஹத சத்ருஹு ஹனிஷ்யே சாபரானபி. ஈஸ்வரோஹமகம் போகி சித்தோஹம் பலவான் சுகி. As I said, Bhagavan continues his discussion on the thinking style, the thought pattern of the person of Arthakama, person of the person who is interested only in Arthakamas. So, Aso Shatruhu Maya Hataha. Aso Shatruhu, this enemy has been destroyed by me, killed by me. See, I killed this fellow. I destroyed this fellow. Sentence is in passive voice. Aso Shatruhu, this enemy, Maya Hataha, has been killed by me. Aparancha Aham Hanishye. Aparancha Hanishye. Aparancha Hanishye. I shall kill others also. I shall destroy others also. The height of arrogance when a person is full of himself. See, a non-righteous person, unethical person who is highly materialistic minded and whose ends, ultimate goals are Arthakamas. And such a person, suppose if he is successful in his pursuit of Arthakamas, he will be full of himself. There will be arrogance to the height. Arrogance to, he'll be highly arrogant. And then these loose expressions, careless words. This enemy has been destroyed by me. I shall kill others also. I'll destroy others also. Aparanapi hanishye. Ishvaraha aham. I am the Lord. Aham bhogi. I am the real enjoyer. Aham siddhaha. Why? I'm highly successful in all my endeavors. I want to have that much money. I accomplished it. I want to get this pleasure enjoyed. I could do it. And I want to have that wealth. I could get it. Whatever I wanted to possess, I could get it. And I planned it. I worked my plan. I became successful. Therefore, I'm siddhaha asmi. Siddhaha here, not in the spiritual sense, okay? I'm successful. Siddhaha literally means successful. Aham siddhaha asmi, I'm very successful. Then, aham balavan, I'm very strong. I'm very strong means what? You don't know my manpower. You don't know my money power. No, I have money power. Therefore, I have manpower also. Therefore, what? I'm very powerful. I have even political influence. I know all those peoples. All the ministers are in my pocket. Because so it means what? This person feels that he's very powerful, very strong person. Therefore, as I'm very pleased. I'm sukhi. I'm very pleased with all my achievements. So this is how this person boasts. This boasting of one's own success and relative success and is an expression of the height of his arrogance. What he says, asauhat shatruhu maya hataha, aparancha aham hanishye, I shall kill others also, ishwaraha aham ishwaraha, aham bhogi, aham siddhaha, aham balavan, aham sukhi. Little simple words. So, if suppose somebody becomes an obstacle for this person, in fulfilling his desire of accumulating more wealth or enjoying pleasures, and this person will go to the extent of even destroying the person because there's no conscious of, he's not even conscious of dharma, there's no sense of dharma, which means the person is inordinately greedy, highly greedy. Therefore, he cannot think of having anybody being a competitor. So when I'm so greedy, naturally, I want to possess everything. And if I see other person who is also like me, who is also equally greedy, who wants to have more, and that person becomes some of my competitor. And thereby, he becomes a big impediment, big hindrance for me in fulfilling what I want to fulfill. Therefore, what do I do? I don't want to be another person who stands on my way and who prevents me from enjoying what I want to enjoy as my competitor. So what I do? Just finish him off. The typical villains we do sometimes we see in the movies and all. Indian movies. I don't know about other movies. Anyway, so this is the. And why such a thinking? Is it possible? Yes. You know, there's no sensitivity. There's no softness. There's no delicacy. There's the roughness, crudeness. And it is the height of thickness of ignorance. So they do any harm. So they go to the extent of destroying also. So and then he also, there's a boast. See that fellow, you know what happened? That fellow became an enemy. That fellow became obstacle for me, I finished him off. See, that person I killed. And now I see some more people who are all become big obstacles for me. I shall finish them also. I'll destroy them also. Aham khanishye. Aparan api aham khanishye. This is how this person feels. And as this person has some money, and some people who are typically, who are like him completely, and they'll become his attendants and using them as his, you know, supporters. And he will also have influence. He will try to show that he's highly influential politically, economically, socially. And thereby he shows that he is a powerful person. And therefore he thinks and he can get anything what he wants to get in life. Therefore he thinks he is the happiest person. I'm sukhi. I'm very happy person. Why? Because anything I want, I can get it done. I have people for that. I have money for that. I have support in the society. Therefore I'm happy. This is his thinking. Go to the next verse.
Adhyo bhijanavanasmi, konyosti sadrusho maya. Adhyo bhijanavanasmi, konyosti Tisadrishomaya, yakshedasyami modishye, ityajnana vimohitaha, yakshedasyami modishye, ityajnana vimohitaha. Adhyobhijanavanasmi konyosti sadrushomaya yakshedasyami modishye ityajnana vimohitaha.
As I said, 13, 14 and 15, these three verses, Bhagavan really discusses the thinking style of highly materialistic people for whom artha kamas alone are the ends. Means there's no understanding of dharma, they do not know any value of dharma. And here he continues to say, ఆఢ్యః అభిజనవాన్ అస్మి. యునో ఆఢ్యః అస్మి. ఆఢ్యః మీన్స్ ఐఎమ్ వెరీ రిచ్. నో, ఐఎమ్ వెరీ వెల్తీ. అహం ఆఢ్యః అస్మి, ఐఎమ్ వెరీ వెల్తీ, ఐఎమ్ వెరీ రిచ్. అండ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ దట్, అభిజనవాన్ అస్మి. అభిజనవాన్ మీన్స్ ఐఎమ్ ఆఫ్ ది, ఐఎమ్ ఆఫ్ ది. సమ్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ వెరీ ప్రౌడ్ ఆఫ్ దయర్ బ్యాక్, యు నో, బ్యాక్గ్రౌండ్. నో, ఐఎమ్ ఆఫ్ వెరీ హైలీ నోబుల్ బర్త్. ఐఎమ్ ఆఫ్ వెరీ నోస్ ఐఎమ్ ఆఫ్ వెరీ reputed, I'm born of a highly reputed family. Abhijanavan asmi, I'm born of a highly reputed family. So I'm highly of noble birth. I'm born of a reputed family. Abhijanavan asmi, you know who my father is, who my grandfather is. So Abhijanavan asmi, I'm born of reputed family, that I am of highly noble birth. Then maya sadrushaha anyaha kaha asti, maya sadrushaha anyaha kaha asti, maya sadrushaha anyaha kaha asti means who else is there who is like me, who is similar to me, who is like me, who is equal to me. Anyaha kaha asti, who else is there, who is similar to me, equal to me, like me. Anyaha kaha asti, maya sadrishaha anyaha kaha asti, who else is there, who is similar to me, equal to me. There's none who is equal to me. None who is equal to me. The question is, who else is there who is equal to me? Means, there's none who is equal to me. It's not actual question. The expression is, there's none who is equal to me. I am the first society. There's none who is superior to me. There's none who is equal to me, therefore there's none who is superior to me. I am the most superior of all the people here in society. And yakshe dasyami. And even suppose if at all these people are religious, if at all people are, they have no concept of Ishvara. But if at all these people are these highly materialistic people, if at all they're religious, they won't be religious, if at all they're religious, and the worship also is only for their own power, for more power and more wealth and more enjoyment of pleasures. So power mongers and slaves of pleasures and greedy for wealth. Therefore, yakshe dasyami. Dasya means I shall give. Dasyami, I shall give. Yakshe is a future tense verb. Yakshe is one verb. Yaje, present tense verb. Yakshe, future tense. Yaje is yakshe. I shall perform rituals. I shall perform all possible fire rituals. So whatever the best of benefits I can enjoy by performing rituals, I will have them. I shall perform rituals. I have money. I can buy priests, I can buy things, I can organize the pujas. So, yakshe, I shall perform rituals, fire rituals. Then, dasyami, you know, I have lots of money, so I shall give charity, I shall give food, I shall give clothing, I shall give. So I shall give. Then modishye means what? I shall enjoy. I shall rejoice. I shall be happy. I shall delight. மோதிஷ்யே இதி தஸ் ஓகே தஸ் அஜ்ஞான விமோஹிதாஹ தஸ் we have to add திங்க் தஸ் திங்க் ஹூ திங்க் அஜ்ஞான விமோஹிதாஹ தஸ் the people who are deluded by their own ignorance அஜ்ஞானேன விமோஹிதாஹ இதி சிந்தயந்தி we have to add people who are highly deluded by the ignorance by ignorance who highly deluded by ignorance think thus that I shall give I shall delight I shall rejoice I shall perform rituals there's none who is equal to me who else is there who is equal to me you know I am of noble birth I am very rich this is how this is the mentality of the people of only materialistic nature and people who are born of demonic nature it means they like their advertisements and they like their name they like their popularity and this is a highly they have entertained the superiority complex highly they have superiority complex which is also height of arrogance so that is why they can talk of their how reputed their family is you know so they can say even whatever religious practices they have they can boast of in our house we perform pujas in our house we do this my grandfather was this my father was this my mother was like this this is what we do all boasting of whatever they have also expression of height of ignorance because expression of their ignorance by their own words exposing their ignorance they expose their ignorance as an expression of their ignorance they say because they're all of demonic nature and they are highly materialistic people see being materialistic is not wrong but one must know being spiritual means what not simply going to temple etc knowing moksha being moksha is my choiceless end if a person knows and then if he becomes committed to the pursuit of moksha and he understands the connection between jnanam and moksha and if thereby if he becomes committed to the pursuit of jnanam and there he will understand oh jnanam is moksha they are not two different things knowledge accomplishment of jnanam is accomplishment of moksha they are identical knowledge and moksha are identical therefore I have to be committed to the pursuit of jnanam in that context the person will also understand even though I'm committed to the pursuit of jnanam and I have to strictly follow the veda shastram the vedic way of life even though I do not study veda at least I must follow the lifestyle enjoined by the shastram taught by elders that I must go to live a life of karma yoga I must be committed to dharma I can't afford to go against dharma why because unless and until I live a life of dharma there's no way of my becoming qualified eligible for the attainment of jnanam so I can't afford if the person knows the greatest value of moksha the person knows the greatest value of jnanam because of his knowledge of the greatest value of jnanam this person knows the greater value of what he'll be losing if he does not follow dharma therefore this person is conscious of not going against dharma then artha kamas he pursues of course he also pursues artha kamas he also enjoys like in the jnani but everything then there is ishvara comes into his picture this ishvara arpana buddhi is a prasada buddhi is samatva buddhi and there is a compassion there's a kindness and there is also seeing other beings as a because of proper attitude of look, being able to look at everything as Ishvara and considering others' lives as significant as one's own life. Therefore, there is dharma. Dharma governs the person's life. Then we call him a human being. A human being. Otherwise, there's no spiritual end means. The person is called a spiritual person because he's spiritual, therefore he's religious and he's ethical, highly ethical. He's conscious. Therefore, he lives his life in conformity with values, in harmony with the universal order. Such a person, a spiritual person, is a human being. Suppose the spiritual end is not there, if he becomes materialistic, means what? Materialistic means only material ends becomes ultimate goals, means there's no dharma, means then he becomes an animal. He's a human being in animal form. That's why I shall kill that person, I shall kill this person, that attitude comes. The thinking itself is wrong. Okay, next verse. 16th verse.
Aneka chitta vibhrantaha moha jala samavrutaha. Aneka chitta vibhrantaha moha jala samavrutaha. Prasaktah kama bhogeshu. Patanti narakeshu cho aneka chitta vibhrantaha aneka chitta vibhrantaha moha jala samavrutaha prasatta kama bhogeshu patanti narakeshu cho aneka chitta vibhrantaha moha jala samavrutaha prasaktah kama bhogeshu patanti narakeshu cha.
See, we completed the second section of the Mundaka Upanishad, and where we learnt about some people. There are some mantras we saw. How people perform rituals, because even religious people also, religious means they perform rituals, invoke the grace of devatas, but still they also have arthakamas as the ultimate goals. Even their worship, invoking the grace of Devata, is also for only accomplishing arthakamas, not for jnanamar mokshaha. But at least they are not unethical, but still interested only in arthakamas. And such people, we saw how they continue to be in samsara. Avidyayam antare vartamanaha, swayam dhiraha, panditam manyamanaha, janghanyamanaha, Pariyanti modaha, andheneva yatha niyamanaha, andaha. These were, we saw so many words, so 2-3 mantras describing these people who remain steeped in ignorance and thinking that there's none superior to them. So, like that, even if they're religious, the being religious also is only for accomplishing the arthakamas, not for jnanam and moksha. Okay, that's what Bhagavan Krishna also discusses here. Now, aneka chitta vibhrantaha, aneka chitta vibhrantaha, moha jala samavrutaha, prasaktaha, kama bhogeshu prasaktaha, those people, ashucho narake patanti. Okay, now the question comes, suppose, if there are people who are highly materialistic, for whom arthakamas alone are the ends, and they do not know the value of dharma at all, and because they're always chased uncontrollably, helplessly, uncontrollably, driven by their own likes and dislikes, and always they work for fulfillment of their desires, Therefore, they go against dharma also. And they go to the extent of transgressing dharma, ruining, you know, others, disturbing the order. What happens to such people? What happens? The consequences of living such a life is Bhagavan mentions, is mentioned in this verse by Bhagavan. The consequence of living such a notorious life is mentioned here in this verse. See, those people, aneka chitta vibhrantaha. See, once purushartha nischeha is not there, I tell you, there's no purushartha nischeha is not there. A person does not have his ultimate goal being mokshaha. The mokshaha, discovering happiness, is the choiceless end, ultimate. If that is not very clear, Pooja Swamiji always used to emphasize, it is very important for a person to have purushartha nischeha. Only then you begin your life as a spiritual life. Until the purushartha nischeha is there, there's no way of being spiritual. You may be religious, you may not be religious, but there's no way of becoming a spiritual person unless a person discovers moksha as the, moksha being the choiceless end. And there, one must also understand that the discovery of moksha is discovery of the truth. And when a person becomes committed to the pursuit of jnanam, he knows the value of dharma, because there's no way of becoming mentally subtle. See, one has to become mentally sensitive and subtle to be able to grasp the subtle, subtlest truth. To claim the subtlest truth as one's own self, one must be highly evolved and refined and subtle mentally. And that mental refinement, subtleness of the mind, sensitivity of the mind is possible only if a person lives consciously a life of dharma with all alertness. Alertness is very important. It's very important. Otherwise, a person will be what happens. Artha kamas alone become the ends means. There's no way of managing one's emotions. See, all of us have emotions. There's no human being who doesn't have emotions. All of us have likes and dislikes. All of us have anxiety. All of us have fear. All of us have jealousy, hatred. How are we going to handle our emotions? There's no way. Because they'll be triggered by when we interact with the world, interact with the people who in the society, our emotions will be triggered always. And all of us have so much, you know, dormant, latent in our subconscious. The society, the family members, our own children, our own parents, our own sisters and brothers, our own neighbors, our own relatives, and every small occasion, when you attend a wedding, you have to go for anywhere, everywhere, the place where you work, everywhere, every situation will trigger your emotions. Anger will come up, likes and dislikes will come up, hatred will come up, jealousy will come up. What are you going to do? You can't undo them because they're rising from your own subconscious. They're all like symptoms of the disease of ignorance. Because we're all born with the disease of ignorance. But they have to be handled very carefully. So, only with the purushartha nischeya, when I, knowing the value of dharma, consciously live a life of dharma, somehow I can manage them. I can handle them. I can't undo them. So, the very effort of working for jnanam is ultimately to have them resolved for good in the wake of the jnanam. But until then, I have to handle them. Otherwise, they will drive a person mad. So, he says, such people are highly confused people because so many emotions driving them go mad. So, aneka chitta vibhrantaha. Hope you're all with me. You really see the, what it, exactly it is said here. Do you see that? There's no limit for what you achieve, what you in life. Always you'll be sense of smallness will drive you mad. The sense of smallness, sense of limitation centered on I, sense of inadequacy centered on I will drive us mad. So, it is said, ಅನೇಕ ಚಿತ್ತ ವಿಭ್ರಾಂತ. ಭ್ರಾಂತ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್, ಡೆಲ್ಯೂ. ಭ್ರಾಂತ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್, ಭ್ರಾಂತಿ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಷನ್, ಭ್ರಾಂತ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್. ಸೊ ವಿಭ್ರಾಂತ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಹೈಲಿ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್, ಟೋಟಲಿ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್, ಟೋಟಲಿ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್. ಓಕೆ, ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ವಾಟ್? ನಾಟ್ ಒನ್ ಆರ್ ಟು, ಕೌಂಟ್ಲೆಸ್, ಕೌಂಟ್ಲೆಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಸ್ಲೈಕ್ಸ್. ಚಿತ್ತ ಅನೇಕ ಚಿತ್ತ ವಿಭ್ರಾಂತ. ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಹಿಯರ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಮೈಂಡ್, ಬಟ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಇಂಪ್ಲೈಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ದಿ ಇಮೋಷನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಟರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಕ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಸ್ಲೈಕ್ಸ್, ಆಂಗರ್ ಎಕ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ. ಟೋಟಲಿ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ, ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಕೌಂಟ್ಲೆಸ್, ಕೌಂಟ್ಲೆಸ್ ಇಮೋಷನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಟರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಕ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಸ್ಲೈಕ್ಸ್, ಫ್ಯಾನ್ಸೀಸ್. ಟೋಟಲಿ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಕೌಂಟ್ಲೆಸ್ ಫ್ಯಾನ್ಸೀಸ್ ಇನ್ ಟರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಕ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಸ್ಲೈಕ್ಸ್, ಜೆಲಸಿ, ಹೇಟ್ರೆಡ್, ಆಂಗರ್ ಎಕ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ. ಮೋಹ ಜಾಲ ಸಮಾವೃತ. ಜಾಲ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ನೆಟ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಸಮಾವೃತ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್? ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಆವೃತ. ವೃತ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಕವರ್ಡ್, ಆವೃತ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಕವರ್ಡ್. ಸಮಾವೃತ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವೆಲ್ ಎನ್ಸರ್ಕಲ್ಡ್, ವೆಲ್ ಕವರ್ಡ್ ಬೈ, ವೆಲ್ ಕವರ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ನೆಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಡೆಲ್ಯೂಷನ್. ದೇರ್ಸ್ ನೋ ವೇ ಆಫ್ ಬ್ರೇಕಿಂಗ್ ದ ನೆಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಡೆಲ್ಯೂಷನ್. ದೇ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಎನ್ಕೇಜ್ಡ್, ಎನ್ಸರ್ಕಲ್ಡ್, ಓಕೆ, ಕವರ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ನೆಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಡೆಲ್ಯೂಷನ್. ಓಕೆ, ದೇ ಗೆಟ್ ಇಂಪ್ರಿಸನ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ನೆಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಡೆಲ್ಯೂಷನ್. ದೇ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಕವರ್ಡ್, ಎನ್ಸರ್ಕಲ್ಡ್, ಎನ್ಕೇಜ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ನೆಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಡೆಲ್ಯೂಷನ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಸಚ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಪ್ರಸಕ್ತಃ. ಸಿ, ಸಕ್ತಃ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟೆಡ್, ಪ್ರಸಕ್ತಃ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಇನ್ವಾಲ್ವ್ಡ್. ಪ್ರಸಕ್ತ ದೇ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಇನ್ವಾಲ್ವ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ದ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಇನ್ವಾಲ್ವ್ಡ್, ಟೋಟಲಿ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ಡ್, ಬಿಕಮ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ವಾಟ್? ಕಾಮಭೋಗೇಶು. ದೇ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಇನ್ವಾಲ್ವ್ಡ್, ಆರ್ ಡೀಪ್ಲಿ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ಡ್, ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಂಗ್ಲಿ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಎಂಜಾಯ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಪ್ಲಷಸ್. ಕಾಮಭೋಗೇಶು, ದಿ ಎಂಜಾಯ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಪ್ಲಷಸ್, ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ಲಷಸ್. ದೇ ಬಿಕಮ್ ವೆರಿ ಹೈಲಿ ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಂಗ್ಲಿ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಇನ್ವಾಲ್ವ್ ಆರ್ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಎಂಜಾಯ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ಲಷಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಸಚ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಅಶುಚೌ ನರಕೆ ಪತಂತಿ. They fall into dirty hell. Ashuchau narake. They fall into dirty hell. They fall into unhealthy hell. They fall into sick hell. They fall into foul hell. Ashuchau, shuchihi means clean. Ashuchau narake. They fall into foul hell, fall into a foul hell. Ashuchau narake patanti. Shuchihi, shuchau is a locative case. Ashuchau narake patanti. They fall into a foul, they fall into a hell, they fall into a foul hell. Sick, unhealthy, dirty, sorrowful hell. So what Bhagavan says in totally, having discussed about the thinking of the highly materialistic people, Bhagavan now here says, finally, the consequence of living such a life. There's no way of becoming free from bondage. and they will accumulate all karma. They accumulate a lot of karma because all the karma will accumulate and all papa karma. Having accumulated papam, and they have papam in their account, and the parabdha, they'll have lot of papam in their parabdha karma, and they will be definitely born with their papa prarabdha. And what will happen once they're born the papa prarabdha, and in keeping with the papam, the parentage, the family, the background, and society, and associations, and everything will be in keeping with the papa. And they'll be suffering from the beginning. Suffering from the beginning, from the time of birth, even being born as children of uncaring parents against the papa, isn't it? And they grow on their own. There's nobody to care. And they become again rogues. This is what again continue to be, somewhere some punyam a person needs. That's why even uttering one time Bhagavan Nama also will help a person to come up in life. So what happens? The bad, as a result of accumulating papam, they'll have bad parabdha papam. Papa prarabdha, as a result of which they'll continue to be in samsara. Continue to be in samsara is said to be what? Said to be falling into a foul hell. There's no way of attaining moksha. And not only that, sometimes because the papam, the wrong actions they do are such, they disturb the harmony so much, and the papam they accumulate is such that they even will lose the fortune of having human bodies. They would even be born as animals. That's what Ashucho Narake. They fall. Okay, next verse.
Atma sambhavita stabdhaha. Atma sambhavita stabdhaha. Dhanamana madanvitaha. Atma sambhavita stabdhaha. Dhanamana madanvitaha yajante nama yajnyaiste yajante nama yajnyaiste dambhena vidhipurvakam yajante nama yajnyaiste dambhena vidhipurvakam Atma sambhavita stabdhaha dhanamana madanvitaha yajante nama yajnyaiste dambhena vidhipurvakam Atma sambhavita stabdhaha dhanamana madanvitaha yajante nama yajnyaiste dambhena vidhipurvakam.
So atma sambhavitaha. See, sambhavita means sambhavayati, means honors. Bhavayati, sam is the prefix. Sambhavayati, honors. Sambhavita, honored. Bhavita thought. Sambhavita honored. Past passive participle. But sambhavitaha, the person who is honored. But here, atma sambhavitaha. These people are the people who honor themselves. Okay? See, if you really, if you command respect by come on, respect. Because of what you are, what you do, then you will be honored by others. And these people are the people who demand respect. Therefore, what do they do? They honor themselves. When they boast of their own accomplishments, achievements, therefore, Atma Sambhavitaha means people who honor themselves, who are honored by themselves. Atmana Sambhavitaha, Atma Sambhavitaha. The word Atma does not mean the self or anything here. I mean, they themselves honor them. Atmana Sambhavitaha, Atmabhi Sambhavitaha. The people who are honored by themselves, who feel honored by themselves. And Stabdaha. The Stabdaha means the person who is full of himself, means the people who is highly arrogant. Stabdaha. But Stabdaha. These people who honor themselves and who are highly arrogant. And then Dhana Mana Mada Anvitaha. Dhana Mana Mada Anvitaha. And they are very proud. The people of, so the arrogant, and arrogance is because of what? He said, Dhana Mana Mada Anvitaha. Anvita means endowed with. So they're also endowed with. Endowed with Madaha. Madaha, pride, haughtiness, and Mana, vanity, because of the wealth. Dhana, Mana, Mada, Anvitaha means they're full of vanity, pride or haughtiness because of the possession of wealth. Dhanena, Mana, Mada, Anvitaha. Why are they endowed with vanity? Why are they so proud? Because they're very, very wealthy. So Dhana Mana Mada Anvitaha means these people are filled with vanity, pride, haughtiness, self-aggrandizement because of the possession of wealth. Because of wealth. And such people, Nama Yajnehi Te Yajante. Nama Yajnehi Te Yajante. Dambhena Avidhi Purvakam. Such people, they also want to show to the world that very, very, very religious. Because they're full of, they're people of vanity. They're people of vanity, people of pride, and people of pride because of their wealth. And they want to show off. Therefore, Avidhi Purvakam Dambhena Yajante. They worship, not because Shraddha in the worship. Dambhena. Dambhena means pretentiously. Okay? They pretend to be religious. They pretend to be God-fearing. They pretend to be highly worshipful. Therefore, pretentiously, Dambhena, pretentiously, Yajante worship. And how? Nama Yajnihi, through Nama Yajnas. And how do they perform? Avidhi Purvakam. See, because they want to be worshipful, they want to pretend to be worshipful. They want to pretend. They pretend to worship. Therefore, they do not respect Shastra. If they really want to worship, and of course, they'll respect Shastra. And they, whatever they do will be in conformity with the instructions of the Shastra. But because these people are not really interested in worship, but they pretend to be worshipful. Therefore, when they perform such yajnas also, they without, avidhi purvaka means what? Without following the instructions, the rules, rules of the Shastra, injections of the Shastra, and completely not even considering the scriptural rules. Avidhipurvaka means without following the Shastra's injunctions, without considering, without regarding the Shastra's injunctions, they perform rituals, they perform yajnas, and they worship, performing yajnas, pretentiously. Dambhena avidhipurvakam nama yajnehi yajante. Vidhipurvakam means what? If a person worships really, performing rituals, and in keeping with, in conformity with the injunctions, the rules and regulations laid down by the Shastra, that is okay. But here, because this person is pretentiously performing rituals, therefore there is no consideration or regard for any rules of the Shastra. So, avidhipurvakam dambhena namayagnehi te yajante. Those people worship. So, see, we have, of course, Vedashastram. Vedashastram, of course, says, Himsam na kurya, dharmam chara, satyam vada. So, all the dharmas, the universal values are emphasized in our Shastram. And same universal values emphasized by the Vedashastram again are discussed in the Smritis, known as Dharma Shastrams also. So how we should live our way of life? See the Shastra, Varna Dharma, Ashrama Dharma, Stri Dharma, all duties, value of universal values, all this are discussed in the Shastram just to help a person to understand the way of life. The way of life, sanatanaha dharmaha, the eternal way of life, governed by dharma, eternal way of life, governed by dharma, okay, which cannot be the non-refutable way of life, governed by dharma. And this way of life is taught by a Shastra. So by following this way of life, one can live one's life in tune with the universal order. So following this way of life is the only way of not disturbing the universal harmony. Not only the disturbance, if I live a life enjoined by the Shastram, governed by dharma, and my life is in conformity with the universal values, means I take care of my own personal peace, thereby I also take care of the universal peace. How? By not disturbing the universal order, by not disturbing the universal harmony. Okay, two things. My own personal peace is taken care of. Relatively, I'll be peaceful because I don't do anything against dharma. Thereby, I live my life in tune with the universal order. Therefore, I also contribute for universal harmony. Why? Because there is alignment in my thought, word and deed. My thought, word and deed are in alignment. There is an integration of my thought, word and deed. There's a nobility on my part. Therefore, all the actions, a person who lives his life in keeping with the teachings of the Shastram, who follows the Vedic way of life, enjoined by the Shastram, of course, a person's all his actions, even simple wake, and from the time he wakes up until he falls asleep, doing every, all his day-to-day activities will be, you know, will bless him with harmony. Because all his actions are in conformity with the dharma. So his own, even his, the physical body, even the, all his organs will be in harmony. It's very important to understand. A person can be known as a healthy person only if all his organs function harmoniously. When one organ doesn't cooperate with the organ, also what will happen? He will be a sick person. One organ, only a small problem in the heart, other organs are okay, means what? Still he is sick. A person can be called a healthy person only if all organs function harmoniously. Every organ must do its own duty, its own work properly. Then all of them are in harmony. The person is a healthy person. Similarly, a person who lives the life of dharma, then he does not disturb any phenomenon in the nature. Even one phenomenon of nature is disturbed also, but because of my wrong action, then that will make the whole world a sick world. So universal harmony is dependent on the family harmony and individual harmony. That's why the Vedanta Shastra, we never work for the world peace. See, if you want the whole world to be peaceful, if you want the world to be harmonious, if you want the universal harmony, then just first of all take care of your own personal harmony. Take care of your own peace. And for which, no, choicelessly, you must surrender your will to Bhagavan, the home of dharma. You must live a life of dharma, strictly following the way of life enjoined by this shastra. Whether you follow everything or not, strictly see that you follow the universal values. Which means, if I live a life of dharma, means I do not transgress the universal values. Therefore, I do not cause any friction. I do not disturb the dharma. If I disturb the dharma, then I'll be disturbed by the dharma. And I'm sure many of you who had heard Swamiji's talk when he came to London 2010, you know, Swamiji told a story of this person, the villager, who goes from one village to another village, walking through the village, and when it was very hot, and he goes and sits under a tree, and a huge tree with a big trunk, and he had itching at the back, and he goes and rubs against the tree, and in the beginning he finds very nice, very nice. The person goes and rubs his back against the tree, and he felt nice in the beginning. And after some time, what happened? He started woozy. And he felt the burning sensation. And he, oh my God, this tree has really rubbed my back. The person complains about the tree. So if you rub against the tree, and tree also rubbed you against. The same way, Swamiji gave us example. If you rub against dharma, dharma will rub you against. You'll be rubbed by dharma. Okay? That you must remember. Therefore, here, Bhagavan says, people who do not follow dharma naturally, and they do everything only for the sake of expressing their vanities. Out of vanity they do this, not because of Shraddha they have, they do it. That is why to handle these problems alone. From childhood, we do namaste, namaskara, falling at the feet of elders. So small things start from childhood just to handle later on, because this all will come. Not that you want to have it. Naturally, they'll all surface from your own subconscious. So such people cannot even bow to others because of their pride and arrogance. So nama yagnihi yajante, so stabdaha, such proud people, nama yagnihi yajante means what? They only perform, they perform rituals only for the sake of popularity, only namesake. Nama yagya means namesake, they perform the ritual. They're not interested. They're not the value of performing them or performing the ritual also. So to show how much wealth they have, how they can perform, how they have even priests who listen to their words, to show off, solve for vanity. Dambena avidipurvakam deyajante, because they do not see the value of dharma at all. So why I said about this dharma, how people contribute for the social disharmony just by not doing their own things properly, just by not following dharma. Next verse. Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham cha samshritah. Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham cha samshritah. Mamatma paradeheshu pradvishantobhyasuyakah. Mamatma paradeheshu pradvishantobhyasuyakah. Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham cha samshritah. Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham cha samshritah. Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham cha samshritah. Mamatma paradeheshu pradvishantobhyasuyakah. Mamatma paradeheshu pradvishantobhyasuyakah. Mamatma paradeheshu pradvishantobhyasuyakah. Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham cha samshritah. Mamatma paradeheshu pradvishantobhyasuyakah. So here Bhagavan says, ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham cha samshritah. Samshritah means people who are enslaved by, who are given to, or given to these emotions. First of all, ahankaraha. Ahankaraha is natural for all the people, even people who live a life of dharma, who live a life of karma yoga, who are given to the discipline of jnana yoga. All ajnanis have choicelessly ahankara. What is ahankara? The knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. That is ahankara. But here ahankaraha means the erroneous notion one has about oneself. Please understand, the knowledge of self-existence obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am is also what? Ahankaraha. But here ahankaraha means the erroneous notion a person entertains about oneself. Thereby, having a wrong notion about oneself, thereby having superiority complex is said to be ahankara in this context. So, they see, erroneous notion may help make a person have inferiority complex, both superiority complex also. But here, we talk about the people who entertain wrong notion about the self, thereby who entertain all superiority complex. Such ahankara, that is ahankara here. So people who are given to ahankara, egoism, and balam, mean what? Balam means, oh, I am very strong. That notion, I am strong. Balam, darpaha, arrogance. So people who are highly arrogant and who have this, who have the strength of doing, strength which have earned through their wrong means. So people who are given to ahankara, power, and arrogance. Darpaha is arrogance. And kamaha, desire. Krodaha, anger. All are objective case. Okay. Ahankaraha, ahankaram. Balam is a general word. Darpaha, darpam. Kamaha, kamam. Krodaha, krodham. So people who are given to ahankara, power, arrogance, desire, and anger. So all of us have ahankara. All of us have this arrogance. All of us have a certain degree of arrogance. All of us have desires. All of us have anger. But these people highly overpowered. Overpowered by these. Or enslaved by egoism. Enslaved by power. Enslaved by arrogance. Enslaved by desire and anger. We all have all this. All the people have all this. All Ajnanis have. But these people are totally enslaved by them. And Abhyasuyakaha means always gossiping about others. Abhyasuyakaha means slanderers. Slanderers. Abhyasuyakaha. Then, such people naturally cannot be said, such people are not the people who really want to know Bhagavan. And people who do not have interest in knowing Bhagavan, definitely people who do not even live in conformity with the values which is the, who would disturb the order which is nothing but Bhagavan. As people who disturb the order means Bhagavan calls them people haters of Bhagavan. So he says, Mam Pradvishantaha, people who hate me. Who are the people who hate me? So people who are enslaved by ahankara, power, arrogance, desire, anger, and such people, and who entertain wrong notions about themselves, thereby who entertain superiority complex. And also there are slanderers who gossip about others. Such people, mam pradvishantaha, hating me, dvishati, hates, dvishan, shatruanta. So pradvishati, hates, pradvishan, pradvishantaha, plural word, pradvishan, pradvishantaha, means mam pradvishantaha, hating me, what do they do, such people? Atma paradeheshu. Atma paradeheshu. Bhagavan says, they hating me, obtaining in their own body, mind, sense complex. And who hating me, who am in the body, mind, sense complex of the haters and also in others. So, they're hating me. So, Bhagavan says, people who are enslaved by these problems actually are the people who are hating Bhagavan, who is there as their own Sarupam, who is there as a Sarupam of others. Paradeheshu means in others' bodies. They're hating Bhagavan, who is in their own body, mind, sense complex, as their own essential nature, and who is there in the body, mind, sense complexes of others also. In the bodies of others also. So Bhagavan is there in all the living beings, bodies of all the living beings, in the body, mind, sense complexes of all the human beings. Bhagavan is there in all the non-living things also. Bhagavan is there in the body, mind, sense complexes of those people who are enslaved by these emotions also. Bhagavan says, such people are hating me who am obtaining as their own essential nature. And in the bodies of others also. Atma paradeheshu mam means I am there in the body, mind, sense complex of the haters. I am there in the bodies of others also. Paradeheshu also. I am there as the all-pervasive truth. And those people hate me, the all-pervasive reality, who am there in their own bodies and in others. Who are the people? People who are given to these problems of pride, egoism, arrogance and desire, anger, etc. So sometimes people pretend to be highly righteous. See, some people are very crude. Their behavior is very crude, so very we can understand. There's some people who pretend to be highly righteous, pretend to be refined people, pretend to be very polite, pretend to be, but they're not really. Pretend to be very humble, but they're not really. So, and what happens? Bhagavan says, so ahankaraha, there is very strong wrong notion about the self, as a result of which they have superiority complex. It means the ahankara is fat ahankara, bloated ahankara, which means it's very difficult, you know, to resolve the bloated ahankara. Somebody always says, if a person is very thin, it's easy to knock him off. A person is highly fat, it's difficult to knock him. Means like that here, the person is highly egoistic. He is a bloated ahankara. It's very difficult to resolve the ahankara. And he has to face the consequence of not being able to resolve the ahankara. And then the person has the power, strength, and the strength, this power is born of his own social status or political status or money power and manpower. Because of his riches, status as a rich man, status is a powerful person. He has the strength born of his own manpower and money power. And he's highly arrogant. And he has desires, likes and dislikes, anger. The problem is, the person becomes enslaved by all of them. It means all these, he'll be enslaved by all of them. Means his life, he cannot have mastery over them. Means these emotions will be dominating his life. When a person becomes dominated, when a person entertains predominantly these emotions, in life itself, the way of life itself becomes governed by these emotions. The life itself becomes governed by these emotions means naturally, slowly the person will even deny Ishwara. He'll deny Ishwara, Bhagavan. Because these, see, arrogance, unmanaged anger, unmanaged likes and dislikes, unmanaged desires, and enslaving desires, enslaving anger, enslaving even ahankara, enslaving power born of his wealth and other things. And all these enslaving means, and this will become a big obstacle. Enslaving emotions will become a big obstacle to worship Bhagavan, to pray to Bhagavan, because praying to Bhagavan means one must have a certain degree of humility. So when this person cannot pray and worship, they become big obstacles. Therefore, this person will gradually even deny Ishwara, which means the bhakti will become zero in that person. Bhakti will completely become resolved. Bhakti will not be there at all in the person. That is when you can see human beings in the form of animals. And that is such people are personified, described in our Puranas as our Rakshasas. You know, such people have become Rakshasas. And such people are said to be the hateds of Bhagavan. So people who are enslaved by these emotions, thereby whose life becomes dominated by these, and these emotions become big obstacle for them, that they cannot be worshipful and prayerful. Gradually, it will even completely remove the bhakti. Devotion will be completely nil on the part of the person. That is when such a person becomes Rakshasa. Then he is said to be the hater of Bhagavan. So Bhagavan says, Mom Pradvishantaha. They hate Bhagavan who is there as their own essential nature. And they hate Bhagavan who is there as the innermost essence of all the beings also, obtaining in all the bodies. Atma paradeheshu mam pradvishantaha bhavanti. They becomes haters. And abhyasuyakaha. Such people always, abhyasuyakaha means gossipers. And they gossip about others and they find fault with others. They criticize others. They slander others. And such people. Okay, therefore, what Bhagavan says, how not managing the, unless a person, let me make it very clear. What Bhagavan actually says is, unless a person has purushartha nischeha, unless a person becomes committed to the pursuit of jnanam, one cannot know the value of dharma. And if a person does not know the value of dharma, if a person does not live a life of dharma, helplessly he'll be enslaved by his own emotions. See, all the people have all these emotions, but they'll become enslaved by these emotions. Once they become enslaved by these emotions, means what? They cannot manage their anger. They cannot manage. If the dharma is not followed strictly, there's no way of handling your anger, your jealousy, your hatred, your fear, your anxiety, your ego. Even the wrong notion you have about yourself also has to be managed. We helplessly, we all have wrong notions about the self. But that also needs to manage. Only if you're committed to live a life of dharma, you can manage all of them. If you're managing, means at least you're not enslaved by them. And once you attain jnanam, they can be resolved for good. But here what happens? You don't manage them because you don't know the value of dharma. You don't follow dharma. And helplessly you become enslaved by all of them. You're given to all of them, means the life becomes completely dominated by those emotions. Then what happens? These being slaves of these emotions will not allow you to be a devotee of Bhagavan. Bhakti will completely taken away. Devotion for Bhagavan means even desire for jnanam is Bhagavan. And living life of dharma is bhakti. This completely bhakti will be impossible in such a mind. When bhakti also is not there, means what? Bhagavan calls such people haters of Bhagavan. Is it clear? So mom, clear or not? Yeah. There's no other ways. Hating Bhagavan means what? Not living a life of dharma is hating Bhagavan. Not having desire to know Bhagavan is hating Bhagavan. And thoughtfully living, consciously living a life of adharma is hating Bhagavan. Consciously living a life of adharma is hating Bhagavan. Bhagavan in one's own self, Bhagavan in others also. Such people do not respect Shastra at all. They cannot even see the greatness and value of Shastra. Okay, next verse. Tanaham dvishatah kroran. Tanaham dvishatah kroran. Samsareshu naradhaman. Kshipam yajasramas. Kshipam yajasrama shubhan. Kshipam yajasrama shubhan. Asurishveva yonishu. Asurishveva yonishu. Tanaham dvishatah kroran. Tanaham dvishatah kroran. Tanaham dvishatah kroran samsareshu naradhaman. Samsareshu naradhaman. Samsareshu naradhaman. Kshipam yajasrama shubhan. Kshipam yajasrama shubhan. Asurishveva yonishu. Kshipam yajasrama shubhan. Kshipam yajasrama shubhan. Asurishveva yonishu. Asurishveva yonishu. Tanaham dvishatah kroran samsareshu naradhaman. Kshipam yajasrama shubhan. Asurishveva yonishu. Tanaham dvishatah kroran samsareshu naradhaman. Kshipam yajasrama shubhan. Asurishveva yonishu. And Bhagavan says, what do I do? Such haters of me. Bhagavan says, see, Bhagavan does not react to their behavior. Okay? Bhagavan responds properly. Bhagavan such people, Bhagavan does not react to his haters, but Bhagavan responds. And what is Bhagavan's response towards such people who hate Bhagavan? Because hating means they harm, disturb Bhagavan in the form of order. Therefore, they hated some Bhagavan. So how does Bhagavan respond to them? Bhagavan says, Kshipami, Kshipami, Tan Aham Kshipami, I throw them. Aham Tan them, Avarhalai, Tan Kshipami, I throw them. I throw such people. Okay, where do I throw? Tan, he says, Asurishu Eva Yonishu. Asurishu Yonishu Aham Kshipami. I throw them. Them means who? Dvishataha. See, Dvishati. Dvishati hates. Dvishan, hating person. Dvishantam Dvishataha. I'm glad you all can understand now Shatruanta objective plural. Dvishataha tan. I tan aham kshipami, aham kshipami, I throw them, those people who are hating. Dvishataha tan means I throw those haters. I throw those people who are hating me. Where? Into, okay, Asurishu eva yonishu, into the wombs of asuras. Into the wombs of asuras. People of demonic nature, I throw those people who are hating me into the wombs of also people of asuric nature. And who are those people again? Nara Adhaman. Nara Adhaman. Nara Adhaman means the most wicked of the human beings. The most wicked, the lowliest among the human beings. I throw those people who are hating me, who are the most wicked among the human beings, the people of most inferior caliber among the human beings, into how ajasram, perpetually, I throw them into the wombs of people of asuric nature, into the asuras' wombs, into the wombs of asuras. Samsareshu. Thereby, which will keep them in samsara forever. In the wombs of people of asuric nature, which will keep them in samsara forever. Samsareshu. Which will keep them in life of samsara forever. So this is Bhagavan's response. So tan, aham, tan, kruran, cruel. I throw those people who are cruel, who are the lowliest among the human beings, and who are hating me, I throw such people into the wombs of people of asuric nature, which will keep them ever in samsara. Samsareshu ఆసురేషు ఏవ సంసారేషు యోనిషు అహం క్షిపామి పర్పచ్యులి ఐత్రోదం అజస్రం అండ్ దెన్ అశుభాన్. వన్ మోర్ అడ్జెక్టివ్. సి భగవాన్ గివ్స్ సో మెనీ అడ్జెక్టివ్స్ హియర్. తాన్ మీన్స్ దెమ్, ఐత్రోదం హూమ్ ద్విషత హూ ఆర్ హేటింగ్, క్రూరాన్ హూ ఆర్ క్రూయల్, నర అధమాన్ హూ ఆర్ లోలియస్ట్ అమంగ్ ది హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్, అశుభాన్ అశుభాన్ హూ ఆర్ ఇనాస్పీషియస్, హూ ఆర్ ఇంప్యూర్, హూ ఆర్ వికెట్, క్రూవల్ ఆల్రెడీ క్రూరియస్ ఇస్ ఎనఫ్. అశుభాన్ హూ ఆర్ ఇనాస్పీషియస్ పీపుల్, ఇంప్యూర్ పీపుల్, అశుభాన్. ఐ త్రో సచ్ పీపుల్ ఇన్ టు ది వూమ్స్ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ ఆఫ్ డెమనిక్ నేచర్, మీన్స్ దట్ దే విల్ కంటిన్యూ టు బీ ఇన్ సంసార. సంసారేషు ఆసురేషు ఆసురీషు సంసారేషు ఆసురీషు యోనిషు అహం క్షిపామి, విచ్ మీన్స్ now I can understand how order, Bhagavan in the form of universal order alone determines our birth. Understand how birth is determined by Bhagavan in the form of order. You have to pay, we have form used to say, we have to settle accounts with Bhagavan. Bhagavan knows how to make settle your account with him. So that is why our birth is not our choice. We have not chosen our birth. Our birth is determined by Bhagavan in the form of universal, natural, moral law and order. The karma phala data, the ordainer of fruits of actions. In conformity with what we have in punya papams, our parentage is also determined by Bhagavan. And asurishu yonishu, again to be associated with the people of demonic nature, to be born among them, to be born of them, to grow among them, amidst them, again to continue to be in the samsara. What happened? So Bhagavan says, I throw them into, aham kshipami, I push them into the wombs of people of demonic nature, that they will continue to be in samsara forever. Samsareshu means into this life of samsara. I throw them. I mean, there's no way of becoming free at all. Means being samsara means they'll be subject to all forms of afflictions, sufferings. Okay. Tanaham dvishatah kroran samsareshu naradhaman kshipam yajasrama shubhan asurishveva yonishu. So samsareshu asurishu yeva, what sandhi you can make out, end sandhi, asurishu yeva సంసారేషు యోనిషు అహం తాన్ క్షిపామి, కాన్ తాన్ ద్విషతః క్రూరాన్ నరాధమాన్ అశుభాన్ తాన్ అహం క్షిపామి. సో మెనీ అడ్జెక్టివ్స్ ఫర్ తాన్. సో తాన్ క్రూరాన్ ద్విషతః. Now you know why they hate Bhagavan. See, whoever goes against dharma is said to be a hater of Bhagavan. Then kruran. Kruraha means what? They're very cruel in their nature, but they are of very rough, impolite behavior. The people of very rough, harsh, impolite, அன்கல்ச்சர் பிஹேவியர். அந்த நர அதமாக அமங் தி ஹியூமன் பீங்ஸ் தேர் பீப்புள் ஆஃப் தி லீஸ்ட் வெரி இன்ஃபீரியர் கேலிபர். அண்ட் அசுபாக அசுபாக மீன்ஸ் பீப்புள் ஆஃப் இனாஸ்பீஷியஸ் பீப்புள் ஹூ ஆர் இனாஸ்பீஷியஸ் பீப்புள் மீன்ஸ் பீப்புள் ஹூ ஆர் ஹூ கேன்னாட் க்ரோ ஸ்பிரிச்சுவலி பீப்புள் ஹூ ஆர் டிப்ரைவ்ட் ஆஃப் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் ப்ரோக்ரஸ் பீப்புள் ஹூ ஆர் choicelessly deprived of spiritual progress are said to be inauspicious people. Okay, people who are deprived of spiritual progress choicelessly are said to be people of inauspicious people. Unfortunate people, but inauspicious people. Anyway, so we'll continue in the next class. I need to say a little more of this. But after these verses, we'll see. Do you see that even though this all already known things are repeated here, but do you see again how it is differently, dharma is emphasized.
What is meaning of jastram? Jastram.
No, ajastram.
Ajastram.
Ajastram means perpetually. An adverb here. Ajastram means perpetually. See, hope Sanskrit people also enjoyed the class because you can see how many adjectives are in objective case. Aham tan kshipami, I throw them. And tan has how many adjectives? Them, I throw them means whom? Dvishataha, those who are hating. Kruran, those who are cruel. Ashuban, those who are inauspicious. Whose spiritual progress is deprived and who are deprived of their spiritual progress. Ashuban, Kruran, Ashuban, Dvishataha. How many words you come across? Adhaman, Kruran, Dvishataha, Adhaman, Ashuban, Tan. Okay, the five words in objective case. I throw them into Asurishu Yonishu, into the wombs of people of demonic nature. Asuras, and which are, of course, which will contribute for remaining in samsara forever. Samsareshu, which associated with permanent samsara, the life of transmigration. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
Can I ask a question, Swamini?
Yes, Amma.
So such people, can they ever come out of this samsara thing, instead of birth and death all the time? Because eventually they say we are all aiming towards that goal in life.
No. The thing is, as a human being, one must make one's own effort. One must make use of one's willpower. And one must aspire for jnanam. And one must know the value of it. That's why it's important for one to know, first of all, what am I living this life for? If a purushartha nischaya, one must have. And one must be exposed to somewhere, some teaching to understand that I am living ultimately for this goal. That's why one needs some punyam. Somewhere little punyam a person has. And because of punyam, a person must know what am I living this life for. Then one can put him in the right track. Otherwise, if artha kamas become the ultimate goals, and there's no way of understanding moksha being the ultimate goal means, and they cannot handle their own emotions, and they will go against dharma, because it is not that they want to go against dharma, their own unmanaged emotions will drive them like that. And as a result of which they have to pay for, because it's everything is a reaction, is followed by reaction, isn't it? Because this whatever you do, it has to come back. See, the law of karma is such. And the law is such that it has to determine an appropriate result for that. That is what we say, setting account with Ishvara. You have to go through, you have to suffer the pain what you inflict also. Whatever pain you are responsible to, you are responsible for inflicting pain, and you have to go through that.
Thank you.